May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. It's so much fun to look out and see the ocean of red in the pews today. On St. Andrew's Day, we encourage everyone in the church to bring a friend. So if you are that friend who has been brought, know that we are thrilled you're here. We hope that you'll stay for coffee hour and get more involved in the life of this amazing community. And today we celebrate the Feast of Andrew, the patron saint not only of this church, but also of Russia and Greece, where he is believed to have traveled and preached, of Scotland, where his relics were laid to rest, if you were wondering about the bagpipes, and of fishermen, since before he was called to be a fisher of people, Andrew was just a fisher of fish. But to me, most compelling about Andrew is that he was Jesus' first disciple. He was called with his brother, and off he went. He left his family and his work and his whole life behind. What an amazing thing. In the 3 years following the gospel story we just heard, Jesus goes on to build a movement, and crowds of thousands will gather to hear him preach. But that day when he goes walking by the Sea of Galilee, there's no movement yet. There are no 12 apostles, there are no miracles, there's been no crucifixion or resurrection, there's no creed. When Andrew meets Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus has just begun as a small-time street preacher. The only reason Andrew might have heard of him is that Jesus had a much more famous cousin, John the Baptist. In the Gospel of John, we hear that Andrew was actually a disciple of John the Baptist first, before John pointed him to Jesus. Andrew would have known almost nothing about Jesus because there was nothing to know yet. And so Andrew had this enviable experience of meeting Jesus with no preconceptions. He was out fishing, he was on the beach. Jesus came along and Andrew saw him and heard his voice and really met him for the first time. Our experience of Jesus is different from that because we are the inheritors of 2,000 years of preconceptions. Andrew, the fisherman, had never heard of a Christian denomination. He had no memories of the church of his childhood. He had certainly never heard Christmas music at a mall in early November. But we have all of those things and more. And some of those facts and memories and pieces of the culture draw us closer to Jesus. But some push us away. So what are your preconceptions about Jesus? Did you sit through religious education so boring that you can't recall a single thing about it? Were you taught to believe that you are not good enough and Jesus is judging you? Or that other people are not good enough and Jesus is judging them? Were you taught to have a childlike faith that started to founder when it met the struggles of adulthood? When you think of Jesus, do you think mostly of church? Not that there's anything wrong with church. But what would it look like to put aside everything that you were taught by the church or the culture and meet Jesus the way Andrew did for the very first time? Back when Jesus was still a nobody, but somehow an extraordinarily compelling one. I imagine that gospel passage we heard from Matthew today is an abridged version, because I'm sure Jesus said more than one sentence to Andrew and Simon Peter before they dropped their fishing nets and became his first followers. He must at least have told them his name or why he wanted them to become fishers of people. So what else did he say to them? Maybe something like, "You have heard revolutionaries who promise you a better life in this world, and you have heard prophets who promise a better life in the world to come. But I am here to tell you that you don't have to choose. If you come with me, I can't promise you that life will be easy or that you won't suffer. But I can promise that I will never leave you, that you will never be alone, that no sin is too great for me to forgive, that all the harms and mistakes of your past can be wiped away. I can promise you a deeper knowledge of the God who loves you and delights in you and knows you by name." And Jesus might have told them, "Although we all fear death, I can promise you that death is not the end of the story, because through me, all people can find eternal life with God, who is our ultimate home." So the question he asked of Simon and Andrew was this: will you accept this truth enough to let it change your life? And will you believe in it enough to try to change other people's lives too? Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. That is ultimately the message of Jesus, that we can build a better world in this life and the next, that we don't have to do it alone. And that was his calling to Andrew and Simon Peter, and they became his disciples that very day, the beginning of the movement. But those promises hold true over the centuries. And Jesus calls every one of us to be his disciple. So the question is not whether Jesus is calling you or me, but how? If Jesus is willing to meet you where you need him most, what is that place? Is he offering you comfort or purpose or challenge? Could you learn to forget everything you have learned that has separated you from him? And listen to him as though you are hearing him for the first time. And if you are willing to let him transform your life, are you then willing to share that good news with others? Because it's too good to keep to yourself. Today we celebrate the life and example of Saint Andrew, Jesus' very first disciple. But let us not forget that Jesus calls each of us as though we were the first. Amen.